in us your character. Challenge us this morning with your word, that your spirit would move and convict us of things that we haven't given to you, and Lord, that you would encourage us with the things that we are doing. We pray now for your blessing on this portion of the service now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to draw your attention to our little insert, the creation moment. And a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, this woman that's in the article is, as it quotes here, a product of the public school system. I always assumed that evolution was a fact. In fact, the colleges are no different, sharing the same things. And yet, even in the midst of the indoctrination that she was going through, there were questions in her mind. What about the woodpecker? What about, you know, this part of creation and that part of creation? And I think that in God's wisdom, he placed, just as Romans 1 talks about in the Bible, that creation points to God. And we need to realize that even when people don't have maybe the gospel being shared with them, they're going to see it. They're going to sense it. They're going to know that something is more. There's something more to life than this. We're going to see that a little more in a little bit. But I want us to consider the things about this life. You know, we were watching a movie the other day, and this movie was talking about an individual who had an addiction. He was a baseball player, and the struggle he went through. He was really good at what he did, but he was addicted, and his life was falling apart. Things weren't going his way, and he tried all kinds of things. In fact, he even said, I can do this. I got control over this. And yet failed time after time. Millions of people around this world struggle with addiction, depression, bitterness, sin weighing them down, things that they've done. I had one individual when I was lived in California. I was an assistant pastor, and this individual and his wife came to the church, and they were transients traveling cross country and just getting enough money to keep going to the next place. And we're talking with him, and I was witnessing to him, and he said, "Well, I've done too much to be forgiven." I said, you know, that's a lie of Satan, because nobody's done too much. The only sin that's unforgivable is not believing in Jesus Christ. Because without Him, you have nothing. At one time or another, all of us have faced that. We face maybe addiction, maybe we face depression, sin that weighs us down, things that we've done in our past. I know that's been my story. Not knowing where to turn, trying various things to lessen and drown out the pain. I know that's the way I was. I was raised in a Christian home and had a lot of things going for me. You know, middle class, no real struggles. And yet, I struggled with what was life all about. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the answer, and there is no other name. Now, I want to run a video, and this video, the very beginning of it, kind of has this rapper going on, but the testimony after that is what I want you to pay attention to. So you want to run that, Ray. You know, most of us have experienced the fact that Jesus is the only way. I don't know about you, but I know about me. And I know what I went through. And I know the things that I got involved with. And I know that I tried a lot of ways to get out of it. No way got me out. Except Jesus, who is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And, you know, once you come to that realization, life and your vision and everything else becomes clear. You see what reality really is. That in this world, it's clouded our minds. It's taken us away from God. It's made us see things in a fractured way. It's like having glasses, but they're broken. But when you come to Christ, when you finally give your life to Jesus, then you get new glasses, clear glasses that get you that vision back. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1, 1708 in your few Bibles. 1708. Romans chapter 1. Why don't you look at verse 16. Paul is writing this, and Paul is one tough guy. We all know that. I mean, the guy was beaten, he was stoned to death, he was, you know, all kinds of things, left for dead, revived, you know, the guy went through so many things. And in verse 16 he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You see, here, he's not ashamed of the gospel. Well, you know, a lot of times we go out in the world and we're Christians and we want to live the life as a Christian. We want to share Christ with people, but you know, we just kind of feel a little awkward, a little bit unnerved about that, don't we? How do you tell somebody about Jesus? But here, Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. I think that we have a tendency to think that the power is in us for some reason. We kind of get confused that it's not about us. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. And you know, maybe somebody will reject what we tell them. Maybe they won't believe and fall all over us and say, "Oh, you're such a great person." And then we'll feel, you know, like we've been rejected. But it's not us that's being rejected, it's God and His gospel. But it's the power of God for salvation. We're not called to bring every single person we talk to Christ. We're called to plant seeds. We're called to share it. We're called to be witnesses. That's all. I mean, what the man did on the video screen, he just shared his testimony. And I can't argue with him because it's his life. And you can't argue about my life either, because I know what Jesus did in my life. And I know that what the Scripture says, this is the power of God. The gospel changes lives. And you may think that your life is impossible or there's no way that you can change. But I'm here to tell you, you can and you will if you give your life to Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to take away the guilt and the despair. But Jesus does. I want you to go to another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17:38, in your pew Bible. 17:38. We'll go to verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 18. Now it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? In the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand a miraculous sign, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. You know, here we see the world. They make fun of our situation, our belief. They say, oh, come on, you know, believing in Jesus, that's a bunch of baloney. You just want a crutch. You just created him to help you out. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the truth at all. And those of you that have gone through addiction and gone through issues in life where you felt like you were between a rock and a hard place, you were stuck, there was no way out. Know what I'm talking about. That Jesus Christ sets you free. Jesus Christ cut the chains. And those chains fell off and you really realized what life was all about. The man in the testimony, he said, I looked around and wondered, there's got to be something. If there isn't anything more, then I don't want to be here. We struggle when we hear about suicides and people who do violence to others and don't care about themselves. People who are using drugs and we wonder, what in the world is wrong? But they have no hope. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to turn. But here, it says, even though the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, those who could care less, those who don't know and don't understand, someday they're going to want something. Someday they're going to realize the emptiness in their soul. To those of us who are being saved, to those of us who know the truth, it's the power of God. There's no more wisdom in the world. There's no more good news in the world. But in Jesus Christ there is. When life loses its meaning, when nothing fills the void. In 2 Peter, I want you to go there for a second. 2 Peter chapter 2, we've been studying this in our Bible studies on Wednesday nights. And in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, it's 1854 in the Pew Bibles if you're looking for it, 1854. Chapter 2, starting in verse 10. It's talking about individuals who don't care, don't understand. They're wicked individuals. And it says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Sound familiar? All you have to do is look at the news. You see people who are destroying property that's not their own, who have nothing but contempt for the authorities. I saw a picture the other day and it had some individual in the face of a policeman screaming and yelling, apparently. And the policeman was just standing there taking it. Oh, I'm not telling you that the police are perfect because we're all sinners. But you know, I was in Spain when the ruler at the time died, and there were guys in the streets and on horseback with machine guns. You didn't put up a fuss in those days. In fact, I was standing for the bus. They told us to get out of town. And I went back to base and was getting on the bus and I saw a big riot going on, a big demonstration, a bunch of college kids, and they had signs and everything. And the authorities came in and they just were swinging the batons and shooting and ushering whoever they could into the paddy wagons. And that demonstration didn't last very long. We in America are fortunate that we don't handle things that way. But in 2 Peter, it describes this kind of individual. Bold. In the second part of verse 10, bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. And that's what we are. We're just like animals in this world. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ have no clue what they're doing. They have no understanding. I've been around it long enough. I remember in the parties with the drinking and the drugs and whatever, and joking about it. Yeah, I'll see you in hell and we'll have a big party there. No idea what they're talking about. No idea what they're saying. Hell is not like that. It's not going to be a party. There's not going to be any beer or drugs. There's not going to be any relief. Brute beasts. It's like cows, the steer that you see in those big yards, and they usher them into the building and they come out as canned meat or McDonald's Big Macs. We used to joke about that when we were milking cows, and there was a cow that was exceptionally ornery. We said, "We're calling McDonald's." They don't know. You herd them onto that trailer. Hey, all right, I get a ride. They don't know what's up for them. We raised pigs for a couple years, and you herd them onto that trailer, and they're all like, "All right, I get out of this place. I go to the island. Paradise." Yeah, paradise, all right. And that's what the world's like. People following each other, wandering through this life, don't know where they're going. They just have the same attitude. Well, let's party, and you know, because tomorrow we die and then it's all over. But it's not all over. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4, 1661. In the Pew Bibles, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for as there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." No other name under heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus puts your life in order instead of confusion. Jesus gives you peace instead of guilt. Jesus gives us forgiveness and eternal life. People outside don't know it. Satan's blinded their eyes. The world has gone mad. We have become the enemy in this world. And Jesus said, "Well, they hated me, so don't be surprised they're going to hate you." But there are people who are looking. There are people who want to know. There are people who need to know. And we are the only link. We have Jesus Christ in our life. We've been through whatever we've been through. And I know they're looking out at all the people here. I know there's some stories. Probably even worse than myself. But one thing we all have in common, Jesus straightened us out. Jesus made our life worth living. I think about all the things I did before Christ. Many of those things I'm ashamed to talk about. But I can tell you, after Jesus Christ, the things I did for Him are the most proud moments. The times where I felt, wow. And then when you lead someone to Christ, when they're ready, somebody probably prepared them way before. I know God did, but somebody planted seeds and somebody got them to where they got to a place where they said, I want to know more. And I just happened to be the fortunate individual that they came to and said, I want to know more. And I was able to share Christ with them. And what a joy to see, just like the man in the testimony said, all the poison and all the hate, all the bitterness just oozes out. And you see a peace go over their face. And then this confidence come onto their demeanor, and they get to a place where they're saying, this is amazing. Why didn't I do this years before? You think, yeah, I know the question. But it's because you weren't ready. You just weren't quite ready. But you're ready now. And I don't know in this congregation of how many people are here. And you struggled. And you struggled. And you fought. And you fought. Thinking, I can do it myself. I can control it. I can get out of this thing. I can make my life better. And then you can't. And then you fail again. And you fail again. And you fail again. And you get to a place where life has no meaning. And you might get to a place where you feel like, I got to just end it. The pain's too great. Jesus Christ is the answer. He will give you peace and joy and love that you never experienced before. And I can guarantee it. You know, there's not many guarantees in life. I know I've many times gone to the doctor and they say, well, we can do this and this, but there's no guarantee. But I can guarantee that Jesus Christ will fill the void, will give you a life that you never, ever thought you could have. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like us to just pray. And I remember, I mentioned it once before, Billy Graham or Franklin Graham at the Madison event. He said, you know, I know there's too many people, it gets embarrassing sometimes, you might feel a little unnerved to come forward, you know, and stand in front of a church, but I got a cell phone, and that number's on the front of the church. And that number, you can call or text. And you can just text, I made a decision for Christ. You text that number and say you made a decision for Christ, and I'll do everything I can to text back any information you need to help you. But one of the things you definitely need to do if you come to Christ is go to church. Read your Bible. Because those things are going to help you the most of all things. Going to church gives you encouragement, challenges you, helps you get on your feet. And Jesus builds through His Spirit in you a life that is too amazing to describe. I want us to bow our heads in prayer at this moment. If there's somebody here that has not accepted Jesus and you're tired of that struggle, you're tired of fighting and failing, you pray with me. Father, I am so sorry. I've tried to do it on my own, and I find I can't. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of falling. Lord Jesus, You, I know now, are the answer. You are the one that can fill that void. I pray now that You would come into my life, that You would save me from all the unrighteousness. Forgive me from all the things that I have done in my life in the past. Lord, I give You my life. And from now on, I will live for You. Fill me with Your Spirit. There may be people here who maybe you accepted the Lord but drifted. You pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I am sorry I've drifted from You. I haven't read my Bible for I don't know how long. I haven't even prayed for days and weeks. I've drifted from You, and now I want that relationship back. I want You to straighten out the disorder in my life. Help me, Lord, to do what You want me to do. Help me to be the person that I should be. Fill me with Your Spirit. Renew that fire again. Lord, thank You so much for this morning. Thank You that You answer all the questions in Your Spirit, in You. The power of the gospel, the power of God filling us and renewing us, making us Your children. Lord, I pray as we sing this last song that it is a new song to us. We may have sung this song 100 times, but today it's a new song. That You have covered all my sin. You've paid for it all. And You've buried it in the deepest sea to remember it no more. Thank You for forgiveness. Thank You for cleansing my life. Thank You for Your Spirit who gives me the power to live this life in this world. We pray now for Your blessings on the closing of this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing Calvary.